Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
He is alive. That is good news to us. He is a living Savior. And man, it's just to encapsulate the whole gospel, right? That we were lost, we were dead in our sins, and God sends, right? God sends his only begotten Son to us so that we could experience salvation. We can experience reconciliation with God, being restored back to right relationship with him. And I'm just so grateful for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 4. I'm going to read this scripture to you. Wanted to just point this out. This isn't our main text for today, but this is just a really deep scripture that, man, I just excited me. So I wanted to share it. All right, you ready for this? Okay, good. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 4. It's going to be right up here on the board right there. It says, "For what I received," now this is Paul talking. He says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of," now if you've got a Bible and you follow along in your Bible, I would just suggest highlight this next phrase, okay? "As of first importance." There is no other greater importance than what he's going to say right here, right now. And so he's telling the Corinthians, "For I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture," which all means that today and every day that Jesus is alive. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? He is alive to those who believe, right? To those who have been rescued, to those who have been restored into right relationship with God because of the finished work of Jesus, because of Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins, and then being resurrected on the third day. Man, isn't that so good? Right? Many people think, well, I don't quite understand. I don't quite get that. But you know what? I'm just going to tell you right now, straight up front, if you would surrender your heart to Jesus, if you would surrender your heart to the Lord, you'll get it. All of a sudden, it will become more of a picture to you and a realization of who Christ is and what he means to us. But because he did this, because he died and he rose again, that just doesn't mean he was a good man, but he was actually God manifested in the flesh. Again, his resurrection also probably proves the fact that, you know what? He can do what he wants to do. Right? He does what he says he will do. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back for his church. And those who aren't connected to him, unfortunately, won't go with him. They'll be left behind to kind of walk through all of this stuff that's going to happen that the Bible talks about that is really unfolding before our very eyes in this culture today. Just look at our culture and how wicked and evil things are. And the Bible talks about what's going to happen in our end times. But see, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And what's great about it too, his resurrection also confirms that he is victorious. He is victorious over death. He is victorious over hell. He's victorious over the grave, and he really does reign victorious. He reigns victorious over the God of this world. And there's a day when it's coming where, you know what? He is going to call us who believe back home to him. So this Easter Sunday, I want to give you three things that I believe the Lord would want to say to us for us to know. And these three things depend on depending upon who you are and where you stand in your belief, they'll either be reminders of how good God is, they'll stir you up towards maybe worshiping and giving thanks to him, or maybe you haven't believed yet, but I pray that, you know what, hopefully by hearing these things for the first time, God will use them to help you understand him a little bit more so that it will lead you into a relationship with Jesus. So our text today is found in Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 9 through 14. And it'll be up on the board if you didn't bring a Bible with you today. But this is what it says. It says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, that's Jesus, okay? He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. Verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and they told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So the title of my message today is, He Found Me Where I Was. He found me where I was. Now, Easter to me is a reminder that every believer in Jesus or a disciple of his has the same story. Now, I don't mean that we have the same past. I don't mean we have the same circumstances or stories that led us to be rescued by the Lord or to be redeemed by him and all of that stuff. Right? Because really, everyone has a very unique and individualistic experience with the Lord. But what I do mean is that our stories are all the same and that he found us where we were. He found us where we were. And see, that's the thing about God, right? We don't find him, he finds us. I'm sure you've heard this saying before, I found God. Well, that's not quite accurate. All right? Because you and I didn't find God. He first found us. He first came after us. Scriptures like John 3:16. God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten son. Whoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Romans chapter 5:8 says, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 John 4, 1:19 says, we love him because he what? First loved us. Now, those are just a few scriptures. I could pull out many, right? But as you can see, hopefully, they reveal that God first loved us. Right? God first loved us and demonstrated his love for each one of us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, God sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins. Right? He died the death that we deserved. But he took it upon himself to restore us into a right relationship with God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so blessed by that this morning, that he lives, right? All that he talked about in Scripture, all that he said to the disciples, all that he said to people came true the moment he was raised from the dead. Because, you know, they kind of thought, well, that doesn't make sense. No, I don't understand. But as soon as he came alive, the Spirit of God's breath breathed into him. He came alive, and man, all of that became true. If he didn't raise from the dead, then the scriptures aren't true. But he did. Do some research. Look at the backgrounds. Look at the stories. Look at other things that you could put up. Nothing has disproved it. But it's very, 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 very real. But see, what we have to be is in right relationship with him. We have to be in that. So think about it. God initiates relationship with you. He wants to have relationship with you. I mean, we're talking like relationship. Not like, you know, distant person, distant, like far, far away. No, he wants to come up right beside you. He wants to be best buddies. And really, when you're best buddies, you won't even ask for personal space with him. You're just like, yeah, I'm so glad you're with me. I'm so glad you walk with me. And you're there all the time. But he initiates it because he wants to make himself known to all of us that he might have a relationship with us. That's his whole intent. He says that this is what Revelation 3 says. Okay, now this is in a version of the Bible that's called the easy version. All right, sometimes I like the easy version because I'm not that smart. Okay, but listen to this. Okay, he says this. Jesus is talking. He says, "Look, I am standing at the door of your house." Okay, that's representing your heart. He says, "Look, I'm standing at the door of your house." This is Jesus talking. He's telling this to each one of us in a way. It says, "I am knocking on your door. When you hear my voice, you should open the door." Don't check out your ring and go, "Oh, I wonder who it is," right? Just, you know, take a step of faith and say, "Man, Jesus is knocking at the door of my heart. I'm going to step in. I'm going to open this door." He says, "When you hear my voice, you should open the door." And this is the great part. Listen. This is great. He says, "Then I will come in. And we will eat meals together." You see that last word? As friends. Oh, man, right there, that should make you just feel like rejoice. Just feel all joy inside because he wants to be your friend. He doesn't want to be enemies. He doesn't want you to feel like, you know, oh, yeah, he's kind of the long-distance friend far, far away. That's not him. He's all, "No, you know what? I want to come in and have a meal together with you." Now, he's not going to show up and you got to cook something for him or anything like that. But understand the concept of it. It's relationship. You go over to people's houses because you are having relationship with them, right? You drive to Chick-fil-A with your best friend and you have a meal together. You break bread. You get the concept? That's what he's trying to get across. I love you so much. I am initiating this so much that I am standing at the door of your heart right now and I am knocking and I'm knocking. Open the door, would you? Open the door. So he's initiating all of it. And the best thing about it, wherever you stand with the Lord, he's always, right? Some of you might be already in communion with him and having a meal with him, but there might be others who, you know what? You just need to open up your heart today. You need to make Resurrection Sunday, make Easter Sunday the day that your life changes forever. And what I love about this portion of Scripture too, he's not forcing himself in. Right? Jesus isn't kicking down the door. He's not SWAT. Right? You know, he's got that big old thing. Boom! Knock it over and open the door. No. He's gracefully saying, "Hey, I'm just here. And I want relationship with you. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to hold a gun to your head. I'm not going to force you at all. All I want to be able to do is come and have a meal with you, have fellowship with you, have relationship with you." And that's just such great news. That's such great news. I think especially for those who have opened the door, right? We share the same story. We share the same testimony that he found us where we were. But listen to this, though. For those of you who haven't, it can be your same story, too. It could be your same testimony, too. This isn't like an all-inclusive club. No, the more the merrier, right? The more the merrier. God wants a big family. But the more the merrier. It could be your testimony, too, that God found you where you are today. So let's get back to our scripture real quick. And let's look at verse number 9. Okay? Because I want to be able to prove the point that after his death and resurrection, Jesus didn't just like disappear. Right? He didn't just leave everybody hanging. He didn't like, you know, just kind of just peace out. I'm gone later. Okay? Instead, He went and he found them where they were. Listen to the verse. Verse 9 says this: He appeared, or he revealed himself, first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out 7 demons. Man, this lady was living in torment. But she opened her door to her heart, and God healed her. God set her free. Right? There are things in our life that sometimes are tormenting us, that we just have allowed to just keep coming at us and keep coming at us, keep coming at us. But Jesus has said, man, you know what? I can set you free. I can set the captive free. So here we have Mary, and she's at the tomb. She's going to anoint Jesus with the spices, and she's weeping. Right? She's broken inside. She's weeping. And as she weeps, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up and found her right where she was. Then in verse 12, it tells us, after that, he appeared to in another form, meaning these guys just couldn't recognize him. Okay, he didn't have stuff hanging out of, you just get the picture. They just didn't recognize him in the moment. It says, the two of them, as they walked and went into the countryside. Now, you can tie that over to Luke chapter 24, verse 31, in the same story where Jesus is walking with these guys and he ends up revealing himself to them as they were walking. They were talking about what had happened, what had transpired. See, they thought Jesus was going to be this great king that was going to come in and just wipe out the Romans and just destroy it. But man, it went the other way. Like sometimes we call it, it went sideways, right? You ever had things go sideways? Like all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what's going on? Well, these guys were they were walking down this road to Emmaus, and they're talking, and all of a sudden, guess what? Jesus shows up, and he's walking with them, and they didn't recognize him. Because at that time, I think there was just some kind of blinder on there or whatever, but they just didn't recognize him in the moment. But eventually what happened as they got there, and then he sat down with them at one point, he revealed himself to them right where they were, right? They were walking and wondering, why? I don't get all this. Why? But he came right where they were. Then in verse 14, it tells us, later he appeared to the 11. Now that Judas was dead by then, right? And they sat at a table. So here the disciples were. They were locked up into a room and a house. And why were they locked up? Because they were in fear. They were in fear of the Jews. Man, we don't know what's going to happen to us. Oh my gosh. And then there was also inside of them this doubt and this kind of unbelief that what Jesus promised then was going to be actually true. So Jesus, man, isn't it so good he shows up in the room? He just showed up. He didn't even knock at the door. He just appeared. Now, if I was a disciple, I'd probably freak out a little bit, right? I mean, would you? Right? All of a sudden, like, whoa, what's going on? But he shows up to them, and he starts talking with them. But the greatest thing is, right, Jesus went, and he found them where they were. He found them in their unbelief, their doubt, their fear. He went to them. He initiated it. All of this, he initiated each encounter, right? He initiates the encounter with you. He truly does. Which leads us to our first point today. God finds us where we are, right? Now, this makes me think, and I'm kind of drawn to this parable, are these two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, which are two parables that Jesus, he told them to express one point, okay? And that one point is what lengths will God go to find his people? What lengths will God go to find those who are lost, maybe who don't even have a relationship with him? Okay, so I'm going to read it to you real quick. Luke chapter 15. Verses 3 through 5 and 7 is the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep. This is what Jesus said. So he's pointing. This is to the extent of where God will go. It says, so he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. Verse 5, and when he found it, where did he find it? Did he find it right next to him? Did he find it right in all the group of 99? No. He initiated. He went and found the one that was lost. He went and walked, looked everywhere, tried to find it, right? And then it says, and when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. He's not like, man, I'm so ticked off at you and so mad at you, sheep. You're so dumb. I can't believe you did this. No. The shepherd's like, yes, I found him. Right? And even goes on a little bit to say, man, he contacts his friends, said, man, I found my sheep. This is an awesome day. You know, rejoice with me. Let's party. Let's do this thing. And then in verse 7, Jesus said, I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. One person who needs to repent of their sin. Then Jesus tells us this parable of the lost coin, where it says, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. She went to great lengths for a coin, right? We drop a penny and we're just like, yeah, whatever. Right? I mean, or couch, or you pull your couch out, you find coin, right? Usually, somehow, you know, it falls out. But we don't give much weight to that. But for her, this was everything. And Jesus is trying to give us that example. It says that she searches carefully until she finds it. She's initiating. And it says, and when she found it, again, right where it was, she calls her friends and neighbors together. Says, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So here Jesus is just describing how God feels about every single one of us. Every single one of us, whether you are a saint or you are a sinner, whether you've given your heart to Jesus or you haven't given your heart to Jesus. He loves you. He's searching for you. He is initiating things in your life, pointing you to him. Because he loves you. He loves every single one of us, just like that shepherd went out for the sheep, just like that woman looked for the coin. God initiates the search. Oh, am I so grateful for that? Because really, he had to go find me. I've got my own stories. But man, I'm grateful that he initiated the search and found me. And so whether a person is lost or a person even wanders away, did you know that Christians can wander away? We can. But that doesn't mean he doesn't go after us. He'll come after you. He'll come, hey, come here, right? And then when they are found, all heaven rejoices, right? There's a party that goes on. They're all, whoop, whoop, yeah, yeah. Okay, then, not only does God find us where we are, but here's the second truth. God speaks in a way that we can hear him. God speaks in a way that we can hear him. Now back to Mark 16, verse 9. This is where Mary had come to the tomb, right, where Jesus was buried. And in some things, other references, it talks about other people with her as well. And she comes with the spices to anoint his body. But I look at that as really just a posture of worship for all that Jesus has done for her. She's expecting him to be dead. But yet, she positions herself, puts her in this posture of worship to just adorn his body with these spices. And again, here she is. She's grieving. They're all grieving. And she enters into the tomb, and the angel says, he was alive, that Jesus is alive. And then she says this, or he says this, go tell the others. Go tell the others. And then in John chapter 20, it tells us this, that when Jesus stood by her, right, Mary, this is Mary, and she didn't recognize him. And then it says this, and man, to me, it's just so powerful. He says, Mary. And you know what? I think it's probably, there was something in the tone of Jesus' voice. Something that resonated deep with inside of her. The way maybe he pronounced it, I don't really know. But he just said, Mary. What I love is that he knows each and every one of us by name. And there was a time in my life when he said, Scott. And I had a choice. Do I listen or do I not? And I'm so grateful that I listened. Took me a while. I was a knucklehead, right? But you know what? I listened. Then in verse 12, we have the two men. They're walking alongside, you know, and they're talking about scriptures with Jesus. They don't even know it's Jesus. And then, you know what? All of a sudden, he starts to talk with them. And you know, as they were wondering about what it's all. And then in Luke 24, it says this. It says, now it came to pass as they sat at the table with them. So Jesus walks this whole road with them. They get to where they're going, and he sits down at a table with them. Get this. He says, and it says this, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Was there another time in the Bible where he took bread, blessed it, and broke it? Upper room, right? Passover. And it said, and he gave it to them. Then verse 31, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then it says, and he vanished from their sight. Now, this wasn't a magic trick. There was no puff of smoke or anything like that. He just disappeared. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked? That's key. That's a key thing, and we'll get to it in a moment. With us on the road, and when he opened the scriptures to us. Now, those are just a few examples showing that God desires to speak to everyone. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit speaks your language. I might not speak your language, right? I'm old. You're young, right? And so what I think it might be, some you're just like, what? But see, the Holy Spirit speaks your language. Holy Spirit, when you are in, listening, hearing, paying attention to the Word of God, He's speaking to you. He really is. And so, that's how it works. You know what? There are other ways that the Lord speaks to us now when in fact, you know what, he's not here in our presence, like, you know, manifest where we can see that, right? He speaks in nature. The Bible tells us that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So, we can look to nature and God can speak to us in nature. Again, he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. It's that still small voice, right? That voice of the consciousness that, you know, kind of won't let go of you in order until you do something right, right? He's just kind of there. Or the fact that, you know what, sometimes it'll burn within you. When you hear him speak, when you hear God's word being proclaimed, it's just something that's gnawing at you. And you're like, man, what is going on? Why am I so either stirred up or just, what's going on? It's because the Holy Spirit, the word of God also speaks to us. But it's the combination of those two to where he speaks to us. He reveals himself to us. I don't know if you've ever had it where it's burning within you. But I've heard messages before where it's just burning within me. I've read my Bible in my quiet time, in my journal time, and it's just burning in me. Like, man, I just can't escape it for the whole day. That's him speaking to you. That's him speaking. And really, if you think about it, each of those could be a sermon in and of itself, right? But I won't go there. But just understand that God is speaking to you even right now in this service. He's revealing himself to you right now in this service, whether you are a saint or a sinner. And let's get to our third point, because this ties into it. It's because God uses people to get to people. God uses people to get to people. Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet in our reading in Mark 16, but in those passages, they reveal to people about Jesus being alive. Right? They go to their brethren to tell them, Jesus is alive. Verse 10, verse 13 in that chapter. In John 20, again, Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, go and tell the brethren that I am alive. God uses people to reach people. Even in Matthew 28, the angel at the tomb said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Right? And then at the end of that whole sequence of Mark 16, Jesus says this to his disciples who were in that upper room, or in that room hidden. He says, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's God's plan. God's plan is to have his people proclaim the truth to other people. That's his plan. And I'm pretty sure, probably 99.9% of us, unless you had some divine occurrence happen, like, you know, God show up in a burning bush or something, had somebody in your life that told you about Jesus, that shared to you about who Jesus was. They shared the gospel with you, and you got saved. See, God was using someone in order to impact your life. And the reason why they did it is because Jesus revealed himself to them. And then he said, go and tell someone else. Go and do that. And man, I'm a byproduct of that. I am. I'm here today because God put me in a family that surrounded me with people that helped me understand the Word of God. They taught me the Bible. They raised me in the ways of God. And it provoked my faith in Christ. And all of that set me up into a personal encounter, right? He found me where I was, but a personal encounter with a living Savior. Now, there might be some of you who think, well, hey, that's great, Pastor Scott. I didn't grow up that way. I didn't have that luxury. Well, I'd just like to share with you or encourage you that no matter how old you are, or what your background is, God can change all of that. He can change all of that by you putting your faith in him. Right? And then finding a church family that's going to love you, that's going to care about you, that's going to want you to grow in your relationship with Christ. But hear me when I say this, okay? Find a church that fits you. Find a church that fits you. I feel like I know a great one, but I'm not going to push it. But find a church that just fits you. Like, man, that's my people. And recognize a church is a hospital. So no one's going to be perfect. Every church is a hospital. But man, find people who are going to come alongside you, love you, and care for you, and want you to grow in your faith. Because it's about people sharing God with people. I'm sure you could look closely in your own life and recognize people that God has brought into your life at some point, right? At some point, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, whatever it was, whether that person was random or not random, right? But they were sent into your path by God for a reason, right? And even if you don't have a relationship with God, man, I don't know, but man, you might encounter people that just end up in your path and they talk to you about Jesus. Yeah, because God's going after you. He's trying to initiate it. He's trying to get you to understand. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. And really, that's the whole reason why I'm up here this morning. Doing what I'm doing, right? That's why every volunteer who opened a door is with your kids right now, sang a song, played an instrument, doing sound, or even doing media, right? This is, we're all doing it for the purpose of revealing Jesus. Revealing Jesus to you, that He lives. He's not an afterthought. He lives, and that He loves you, and He wants to rescue you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to pull you out of the very pit and be able to live a new life in relationship with Him. So God uses people.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.